Hey, American Christian, here we are again, coming at you. And we are coming off of our Jezebel and Ahab and in our Who's in Charge series. Hey, remember, you can write in or call in or however you want to do it and get our book, Who's in Charge. It'll bless you. It'll strengthen you and edify you in your walk with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But Pete, we're here today, and we're going to chomp off something here. We're going to bite off something I think we can chew today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? This was something that I don't know if a lot of people know about this, and that's why I'm kind of excited about it.
That we're going to take up today, which is cessationism. And it's a big, big deal. Okay, cessationism is the teaching that there were powerful acts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and other books of the New Testament.
Okay.
But then there came a time, a point, and the cessationists vary on this. Some say at the death of the last apostle, some say at 100 AD, some say when the Bible was written, completely written. So there's variance there, but it usually falls right around the end of the first century, right around in that time frame. And the teaching is after that, those gifts and those powerful acts of God are no longer necessary, and they do not exist anymore. And if people say they do, then they're false teachers and false prophets, and everything about them is false. So that's a problem. That's a real problem. And so you might be thinking, well, okay, so what does the Bible itself actually say about this? And there is one huge passage that these people use to support this, and we're going to look at it right now. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this, of course, is the love chapter that Paul inserts in here, right in between two major teachings on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in chapter 12, and then again in chapter 14. But chapter 13 is all about love. So in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." That's the passage right there.
That's the key passage.
So the cessationists say that when the perfect came is when the Bible was completely written. So in other words, if you believe the book of Revelation was the last book written or, you know, whatever, then that's it. And
they stretch the word of God into the perfect statement. That which was perfect has come.
What is perfect? Is that where we would say that's not the writing of the Bible, that is the second coming of Jesus. When the perfect that is coming.
I think that's pretty perfect. That's pretty complete.
Well, you know, and the Bible is perfect too in its own way.
In
inspiration, infallibility, and all that. But which one does it mean here?
Well, what does the Bible point to? To Jesus.
Jesus.
So I follow your stretch to the end here. It's Jesus coming.
Well, that's what I believe.
Right.
But here's another thing about this passage. When I read and listen to people who are of this persuasion, they're always talking about healings, and they're not real, and miracles, and casting out demons and all this stuff, and it's not real. And my question is, where do you find those in this passage? Ooh. Healing is not mentioned here, nor are miracles, nor are casting out of demons.
Right.
It says three things will fail. whatever, even if we granted them for the sake of argument that this is at the end of the first century, the three things that are going to fail are prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. It doesn't say healing's going to cease. It doesn't say miracles are going to cease. It doesn't say any other gifts. It just says those three. So that's interesting too, isn't it?
Well, it's taking partials and making them foundational.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But once you start climbing up that ladder,
yeah,
right? I mean, you get up there and eventually you're too high up to fall.
Right. Now, here's another thing with it. If you accept this and you're going down this path, or as you said, up this ladder, to say there are no healings, miracles, prophecies, tongues, none of that is valid in this present age, just the appearance of one of them, one time, in one place, disproves the whole theory. Think about that for a minute. Our burden of proof is not to prove that everybody that said they were healed, or everybody that gave a prophecy, or everybody that, you know, whatever they did, that those were all exactly perfect and genuine and everything. That's not our burden. All we need is one. From 100 AD to 2021, and the theory is wrong.
Right.
Is that correct, Pete?
I'm with you.
All right. So let's see if we can find any in church history.
Oh, okay. You're going to go down that road.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So we have a guy named Justin Martyr, very famous father in the ancient church.
Yeah.
Who in the year 165 AD.
Okay.
Now, is that in the era of the perfect has come in their theory?
I would believe that it would
be. 65 years in.
Sorry, John. Or Justin.
Okay. And this is a quote from him, Justin Martyr. The prophetic gifts remain with us now. The prophetic gifts remain with us now. That's what Justin Martyr said.
Okay.
Then we got a guy, next generation after him, Irenaeus, in 202. Now we're starting into the third century.
Okay.
Here's what he said. Many people among us possess prophetic gifts, and many are speaking in languages by the Holy Spirit.
Well, these guys must be lying.
Well,
right?
I'm just telling you what the quotes are from them from history books.
Right, okay.
Right? Okay, then there's Origen in 220 AD, once again in the third century. He reports that he saw demons cast out. He himself personally witnessed healings and prophecies being given. In 220 AD.
But there's so much right now, and if we fast forward, which is a big haul, to 2021.
You mean we have to jump all the way over?
Yeah, you got to jump over all that. Well, you jump over all that because, something that we've talked about in the past is the role of the prophet. And we heard a lot of prophecies come out. You and I did. Now, what about mainstream people that heard the prophecies, the Trump prophecies, right? And who's going to be in office and who's not. And there were all kinds of things that have been coming out of the prophetic, quote-unquote, prophetic camp that didn't happen. So I think that what people want to do is roll back onto cessationism and say, look, see, you guys, we told you that this is done with. But there is so much more evidence other than what we see in the mainstream of things, right?
Good.
Because things can be stolen. Things can be taken, even though they've been prophesied to happen and to come true.
Exactly.
How many things do you think have been robbed over the century?
Like, you mean a presidential election could be stolen, Pete?
Well, I think it was. I think there's a burden of evidence that suggests that it did happen.
Very much so. Right. So that's one thing we could say about prophecy. But to get back to healing and miracles.
Yeah, I know.
This is what this ministry has majored on now for 20 years in a big way, is to see the unleashing of the power of God into a village, into a town, into a city, both right. here in America and overseas.
Right.
So that what people read that Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still being done today through the Holy Spirit, done in the name of Jesus, to exalt him and glorify him so that people will turn their lives to him and be saved.
Hallelujah.
That's, to me, the gospel of the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, that he said would be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
So
now, what this gospel, see, I think what this gospel of the kingdom is a big input into this question, and for that we have to go back to Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus begins his ministry with some very important statements made about this. For example, in Matthew 4:17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That means it's right in front of you. It's right here where you can see it. Okay, and then we have the description of the call of the disciples. And then down in verse 23, it says, "Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom."
Right.
He didn't just preach the gospel, period. He preached the gospel of the kingdom.
So to our listeners, what's the difference between the gospel and the gospel of the kingdom?
This might be, not totally exclusively, but it might be the difference we're talking about here with cessationism and what we believe.
Ooh, Dr. Nichols.
Because these people are preaching the gospel. They tell people that,
right.
that they yep. have to believe Jesus to be saved,
yep.
but they will not allow miracles. They will not allow healings. They will not allow casting out of demons, as far as I know.
So I was getting ready, you know, like I'm in my commentaries, I'm in the Word, I'm looking at things, I'm studying, and I come across a passage in a commentary that said this, that the kingdom of heaven is no longer at hand. It has already come. It has already passed. It has already moved on. There it is, right?
That so is cessationism.
I read that, and I bolt into the living room. I'm going, honey, guess what? Right? The kingdom of heaven isn't at hand anymore.
What are we going to do?
So that brings me down this other road, which I saw before, which is the thing about cessationism. Right. I think what it's doing is it takes away from the commoner. It takes away from the guys that are in the grassroots
yes.
of preaching the gospel, the miracles, signs and wonders, the things that they're saying, the things that they don't even talk. You don't even know that these guys are out there doing these things, and they're happening all the time. So you take that away, and what do you have? You have teachers in control. Teachers at the highest level, it's teachers.
I think I read that in a book somewhere.
I know, because the other book that I'm reading is Who's in Charge, right?
The book we want to send you,
yeah.
listener, just let
I'm
us
telling,
know.
You got to get this book.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that's good. So in verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And please understand, we're not against teaching. Jesus taught.
Yes.
We teach.
Yes.
You need to teach.
Should teach.
But what you teach is very important. Okay? He preached the gospel of the kingdom and what? Healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went out throughout all Syria. They brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, those who were demonized, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Seems like it should say all, because in Luke 4:40 it says he healed every one of them.
Right.
Parallel passage to this one.
Right.
So why does the author Matthew here see fit to include all this supernatural stuff right after he tells that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom? Maybe he wants you to know what the gospel of the kingdom is.
Yeah.
Forgiveness of sins through repentance, which Jesus himself said in verse 17. Then healing of the body, miracles, deliverance from demon spirits, healing of paralysis, healing of epilepsy. And the list could go on, of course, go on and on. That's the gospel of the kingdom.
Kingdom. If we cannot see the kingdom of God, what do we have, Doc? I mean, let's just go ahead and say that the kingdom of heaven is no longer at hand, that the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom is no longer relevant. It's only doctrine and what else? What else could it be? The traditions of men?
Refuting the heretics that say that there's healing and miracles.
I think that
that's what they do.
Well, there's a stage for that, isn't there?
There is.
Which we came across just the other day.
Right, right. So now you continue in the Gospel of Matthew, you go down to chapter 10, and it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, gave them power over unclean spirits. Because a lot of times when I say, well, that's Jesus. Well, it is Jesus, and Jesus is awesome, and he's amazing, and he's wonderful. But Jesus didn't just say, well, okay, I'm the only one that can do this, so you guys forget about it. Just watch me and shut up and listen, okay?
Right.
That's not what he said.
No.
He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal what?
All kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease.
And then they're named, these 12 guys.
Right.
And then, as you continue on in chapter 10 there, he sends them out in verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. He says this, as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, wait a minute. That's what he himself said back in chapter 4.
Yeah.
Now he's telling them to say it.
Right. And now, I don't know. How can you just take this out of the Word of God? How can you remove this? How can you say that? Okay.
Here's how you do it. I'll tell you. I'll answer your question.
All right. Well, you're a doctor.
Which?
I have a symptom.
Okay. I'll prescribe the cure, and you'll be okay.
Okay.
All right. So the way you do it is you take these 12 and you put them on a pedestal.
Oh.
And say, okay, well, this Jesus did give this to all of them, and then they did these things. But then when the last one of them died, boom, it was over.
Well, doesn't that go against everything that Jesus said about training up disciples? Didn't the 12 have disciples?
Yes.
Did they tell their disciples, look,
don't do what I'm doing. Forget that, man. It's just me. Can you see that in Acts?
You see how quickly
Peter
that
training
fell apart?
Up his guys? No, no healing. No, no. No, I mean, really.
I know, because when you start really examining the word, Doc, this is what the things become revealed instead of listening to what somebody else might be telling you.
Right.
You're going into the scriptures and looking.
With someone that has a theological and practical agenda.
Right.
And you know what? On balance, let's just be as kind as we can to these people. Many of them have had disappointments in gifts of the Spirit. Many of them have been disillusioned by people who may be overventilated on certain things. That happens. Okay, but when that happens, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right.
You really don't. So what Jesus says to them here, to the 12, is heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Right.
Now, what the cessationist position has to demonstrate to us is a scripture that says, and now we take all that back and we don't do it anymore.
Right.
Which is such a scripture does not exist.
Wouldn't the Lord tell us if he was going to take it all back and say, look, you guys are... I mean, if there was some kind of a positive spin to this whole thing, right?
Like, okay, but back, right, but back to the theory here. The theory is, okay, it's the 12. The 12, they're the guys that write the New Testament. They're the guys that were with Jesus. They are the guys that saw all this stuff, so it's just them.
Right.
Not really. In Luke chapter 10...
Okay.
In Luke chapter 10, if that were so, then why do we read about the 70?
Right.
Right?
Oh, no.
I love the 70.
Now it's going out.
Here we go.
All right, good.
Verse 1, Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he was about to go. Look at the commands that he gives them. He says, verse 2, the harvest truly great, laborers are few, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into his harvest. He gives them many specific instructions, especially dealing with the sons of peace. That's another subject. We should do a podcast on the sons of peace.
Yeah. I think that changed. That's a huge deal. That changed the way that I moved in evangelism.
Yeah. But we don't have time for it here today. But in verse 9, here's what Jesus says to them. This is not the 12. This is the 70.
Right.
Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In other words, the kingdom is at hand.
Right. Here we go again.
What are these 70 doing? I thought this was only the 12.
What are their names?
We don't know.
What? They're just unknown guys.
They're like regular type Christians who just go out into their world and heard what Jesus said,
yes,
start praying for the sick,
you know,
start
these,
witnessing to people.
You know these people, listener. You might even be one. Right.
You might be one of the 70. And the amazing thing is when they come back in verse 70, so Jesus sends them out with this, right?
Yeah.
So they go out and they come back. The 70 returned with joy saying, this is verse 17,
right,
Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What are they doing casting out demons?
Mm.
I thought it was only Jesus.
Right.
I thought, we'll let the 12 in on this
superpower. Right. And who gave him the power to do this?
Jesus.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
All right. Yeah, Satan does not cast out Satan. Remember?
Right.
Okay. So they say, the demons are subject to us in your name. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Mm. Behold, and when Jesus speaks next here, the reason Luke writes this in the Gospel of Luke is for all of us.
Mm.
Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Glory.
And this is really awesome what happens next. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, what does it take to make Jesus happy? Okay, you know a lot about a person by learning what makes them happy, right?
Mm.
Right, I kind of know that a little bit with you, Pete, and you kind of know it a little with me. But when you know it about Jesus, you're really learning something about him.
You want to do things to make him happy.
So Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. In other words, he's happy. And this is what he says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babies.
What?
What things?
Oh.
What things? healing the sick,
yeah.
casting out demons yeah. that are mentioned here.
Right.
Well, maybe, just maybe, I'll just humbly suggest this.
Okay.
Maybe what's going on with cessationism is these things are being hidden from the wise and prudent and being revealed to babies. Mm. Like Pete Cooper, like David Nichols.
Yeah.
Babies.
I have a crazy testimony about that.
Go ahead.
So this kind of rolls back. He may even be, not maybe, he's one of our listeners. But he gets saved, right? And he's an older guy, right? He's like, I don't know, he probably was in his mid-30s. He gets saved, comes to Jesus. And it was a crazy story in and of that. He gets the word that he can lay hands on the sick and that they can recover.
Amen.
Somebody tells him that.
Amen.
The secretary at his place of employment, he learns, has brain cancer.
Mm. Wow.
He goes in and lays hands on her.
Gets her permission.
Yeah, well, right. yeah. But he asked her if he could pray for her, right? He was this new Christian. Right. Can I pray for you? Yes, you can pray for me. Lays his hands on her shoulders, and he just says, be healed in the name of Jesus. Report comes back that she is healed of cancer. Now, I didn't follow this up. I didn't ask for any reports. No doctor reports or files or any of this and that. But the testimony of that young believer from the testimony of that person being healed was enough for my ears to know that what we're talking about here in Luke 10 is the absolute truth. This is the way that it goes, because I think the enemy comes in to trick us, to change our mind, to change out our specs, change our perspective,
mm-hmm.
and throw in, right, the doctrines and the traditions of men. Not that teachers are bad. Right. But if that's all you got, and you're moving away from what the apostolic and the prophetic have to say, because in the book, who's in charge? You got to know who's in charge.
Right.
You got to start listening to the people who are in charge.
Right. So, listener, this is our word to you today.
Yeah.
Beware. This teaching is out there,
mm-hmm.
and it's wrong. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have not ceased. Now, again, not every report of every prophecy, of every healing, of every miracle that is said to have happened right. is necessarily true.
Right.
Let's acknowledge that. Let's acknowledge that people sometimes let their imaginations get away with them. They let things get reported. You know, you did the thing in grade school where you have a line of people and you say it one after another to another, and then you check at the end and the thing is totally different. Well, that still happens.
Right.
But that does not defeat the fact that the gospel of the kingdom is coming and is here and is on the earth right now.
Yes, thank you.
And we obviously, in fact, I'd encourage you to go to our website, because we have mountains of evidence there, and testimonies of people both in America and in Africa and in India who were healed by the supernatural power of God.
Hallelujah.
People who couldn't walk, who walk. People with life-threatening things.
Blindness.
Blind eyes opening
Deaf
up.
Deaf ears open.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I am so grateful that the kingdom of heaven is still at hand, and it's still something that we can reach into. And listener, you can be part of all of that. You just choose to believe that these words that are written in Luke 10 and in Matthew 4, that they are very real. The scripture that's written in 1 Corinthians 13, you need to come on and you need to come with us, because when a person who has cancer, when someone who's blind can see, when deaf ears are opened, it changes everything.
I've got a testimony about that. Let's close with this one from Rwanda.
Okay.
Okay, now I said before when we started this session, it would take one miracle or one healing to disprove the whole theory of cessationism.
Right.
And if I had to choose one that I have personally witnessed, this would be it.
Okay.
This happened in the nation of Rwanda, probably about 10 years ago. We were doing a crusade in a village, and on that particular night, it just seemed like the anointing of God was there to heal eyes. And so we just released a healing declaration over the crowd, and then we asked people if they knew something had changed in their bodies to come up and stand on the platform and give their testimony to the whole crowd. 33 people came up with testimonies of eyes. Everything from cataracts to one eye blind to had an injury that took out an eye and all these different things. And they were healed and they were demonstrating they could see clearly. But the last guy is the one I want to talk about because he was born blind. You say, how do you know that, doctor? It was certified on that platform that night by two girls who were neighbors of his and by a government official who knew him, who came up after they saw he was up there and seeing. The girls came up crying and weeping and told their relationship with him. But the government official told how this guy had been to his office many times seeking for aid and there was none and all this, but he knew him. And here he was seeing for the first time in his life at the age of about 40 years old. That happened in moments of time standing on a field, a man born blind. Now that man, 4 years later, I went back there to that general region and I was conducting a pastor's conference in a church. And they surprised me with this.
Get out.
They really
did. They really?
They really did.
Doc.
We're right in the middle of teaching these maybe 200 pastors in this church, and the side door opens, and one of our guys comes walking in with this guy. 4 years later, here I'm like, dude, it's you. Ah, we're hugging each other. There he was. By now, he has married. He had a child. He was getting on with life. I mean, we heard the whole thing, and the place was just blessed by this man's testimony.
Huge testimony.
And he's serving Jesus today over there in Rwanda. There's my one I would choose.
I think that's a glorious one.
Yeah.
And who knows what that man went on to do.
Yeah, exactly.
What can one guy do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How about pray for the sick and that they would recover?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray for our listeners right now, Pete.
Yes, sir.
Father, we just come in the name of Jesus. We lift up these men and these women that are listening right now for them to step in and stand among the 70 in Jesus' name and to heal the sick and to declare the favorable year of the Lord and to cast out the demons. And to stand against wickedness and unrighteousness in this nation of ours. Father, we just thank you for this anointing coming upon them by the Holy Spirit to be those who bring forth the true gospel of the kingdom right now, in this day, in this time, in this place where they are. In Jesus' name, amen.